Hello, everybody. This is Terry Laundry with the T3 Observations Update for Sunday, November 29th, 2009. First topic is to return to the long-range advanced decline tees, which is almost totally occupied my time. In the chart that we have this week as compared to last week, the T11, 12, and 13 are now constructed. And you'll notice that if you follow the red center post of the T's down, we're splitting the double bottom in the advanced decline line, which is the what you have to do if you get hit real hard. I didn't put in the cash buildup lines, the green cash buildup lines, in the advanced decline oscillator because they have to be programmed in so that, each week I put this chart up, I don't have to draw the lines in again. The topics that I wanted to discuss this week are how you can use the long-range T's to get around a lot of the ambiguities in the short-range T chart. And so we're going to follow them through, first with looking at some of the common characteristics of advanced decline T's. Then we're going to look at the 8-year cycle. Martin Armstrong's work is available on the web if you do a search for Armstrong Economics or Martin A. Armstrong. Look it up in Wikipedia. You'll find many of the historical backgrounds to it, which I think is really interesting. And of course, that relates to the 8-year cycle, which is down at the bottom of the chart. And you'll notice that at the 8 years, I have it in the 1995. I have 8 years. That should be 10 years between peeps. And I'll talk about that one because this it's an interesting concept. And actually, the 8-year cycle is interesting in its own right. The next thing we're going to look at is that the refined advanced decline T number 3, which is the current T. It turns out that using the first echo concept, which we call the we used to call it the mystery T, but it's the first echo, you can really solve the short-term problem of the stock market pretty well. And I wanted to get into that one because there's a lot of interesting things going on there. The next programming task will be to take this chart's data here and expand it so that we can get more into the focus of what happens around double bottoms relative to the multiplicity of tops. And then and the final thing we're going to discuss today is the benchmarks, which is a concept we use at American Shareholders. And I just wanted to point out how that might be interpreted as suggesting that we're having a speculation in gold in the next 8-year cycle. You can see down on the lower right it says new cycle question mark 8 years. We don't know that that's true. We don't know that the speculation in gold, we don't know that there is an 8-year cycle. But if there is, and there's some consistency in history, then we do believe that it could be in gold because we have previously discussed the basic gold T, which is it topped in 1980 and then it went down to a low around 2000-2001, about 20 years. There should be an upsurge for lasting about 20 years. So the story isn't over in gold. And remember, there's supposed to be a speculation someplace in the 8-year cycle as it approaches its top and it, just before it curls down into the correction phase to drop to the next low. You do have some kind of a speculation. My bet is that it's going to be speculation in gold because you've got everything in the right sequence. You're just starting the second. You started a rally in gold from 2001 up to basically where T number 12 topped out. And then it curled down, but it didn't come down very much. And now it's gone on to new high. So it's beginning to look as though it started another cycle on the upside, and sometimes the second one is more important, even though it's coming from a higher level, because it captures the public's attention. You can't have speculation unless you have the public's captured attention. So I wanted to take a look at that. The other thing I wanted to show you in this chart, which I think is probably the most important thing for the current situation relative to the short term, is you'll notice that I'm going to take you through each one of these T's in sequence and show you that very often what happens is if you look at T number 1, we'll start at T number 1, which is got center post low in 1970. What happens is you think the tee comes off the center post and it has a big rally, and then it starts to pull back and you think the tee is going to die, and then suddenly when it gets to the end, as you come to the end of the tee, it suddenly explodes to the upside. If you look in tee number two, you see the same thing. It kind of sags off, it comes up begrudgingly up into 1980, and up towards 1980, but in 79 it just explodes up to the top, which was in September 1980. You also see in tee number three, things were going up pretty good, just kind of sagged off, started to rose, and then it went into that rush up to the projected right end for tee number three. Tee number seven is, tee number six has a little bit of a pull up on the other one, but tee seven is the only one where the symmetry doesn't come out right, and I don't know whether there's something wrong in the data or it's just that you can't win them all. But it fell off early, but it didn't do anything. Nothing happened. It fell off, but then it just regathered and went up T8, T9. T10 and T11 are interesting because they're short, very small tees, and it's very similar to what happened in T4. It's a sign of a problem. So in any case, what you're saying is that when you get to T13, we're seeing a struggling. But it doesn't really mean that there's a problem. It just means that the first interpretation of a tee is where the left side of the tee is a cash buildup phase, and this money is like it's hot money in people's hands, and the tee wants to get you to put that into the market while there's a surge near the end of the tee. So the worst thing that can happen is you just delay the final rise, but then it probably would just pull up into the 13th tee's projected top date, which is August 26th of 2010. Second thing that it's worth remembering is that when you have an advanced decline line that keeps going up and will not give you a respectable pullback, there's a warning that you have a problem. After T2's top date, you did have a two-year decline down to 82, and you were able to, by some reasonably clever acrobatics here, have an advanced decline peak in 78, which is hard to believe because the stock market, the advanced decline line is back in 78. So you get this long T with a run-up, and then you go sideways. Now, T number four, because it's small and there's no real correction there, you suspect that there's speculation going on, because the market didn't want to waste any time. You know, it was too many eager beavers wanted to get in the stock market. And then the question is, what's going to happen when T4 expires? The answer is, when you get that sequence of the advanced decline line just rising and rising fast, you know, the New York Composite Index rising faster, and you go into it, you finally end up with a small T, something bad is going to happen, because it isn't going to work anymore, because you can't get yourself a big cash buildup phase. I actually stopped working on this program in the late 1990s because I ran across T10 is small, and then I ran into T11, which was small. So I started working on short range tees because they all seemed to be small. But what it really meant was that the market was running out of liquidity, and that was the precursor to a larger top. So when we get to the end of T13, the question is, what's going to happen? If the advanced decline line has made a new high, which would seem to be the case, okay, because it's just below the high, you can't draw another T in, you see, so you're kind of boxed in there. It's possible you could have a short-term pullback if everybody was very eager to produce a rally, but that would be, if you did do that, that would be confusing, because you'd think the market was going to fall off the tee, but it didn't go down too far, and then it came back up again. That would be a sign of speculation, and you would probably assume that there was a problem on the bottom signs. The other possibility is that basically you're going to go into a bear market that's going to have some substance. The average bear market is 17 months, so you know, you might have to be prepared for that. Then the question would come up, is that the double dip in the recession or what? Thing that you come up, the problem that you face is that if you assume that the 8-year cycle bottomed in 09, nearly part of 09, then and you look back at the other bottoms, you don't find anything bad happening. I mean, you don't find anything bad happening to the to the extent that you go down to new lows or anything like that, it will be in the nature of partial correction. How you handle that with a 40-year cycle has to do with looking at the 8-year cycle in the next segment. But I would say that the one thing you want to remember is that when you have a T13 with this latent time available, and then you take into account my observations on the short term, which is back in the T-theory foundation of Mark Hulbert's finding that the investment advisors are as bearish now as just coming off the bottom in April 13th is not that far off of the 9th of March bottom. You have very good reasons to believe that nobody believes this. There's a lot of money on the sideline, and so when you tap it, it's going to give you a big run. And if you look at some of these examples where you get this rush to the end of the T, you find out that you don't really get a lot on the downside in many of the cases. And then we're going to go on and show that that's likely to be the case for here. Okay, that's it for part A, and now we'll move on to the 8-year cycle.